encouraged by some members of the portfolio committee on agriculture. I saw Mr. Lulu Johnson. Is he still here? Oh, okay. Well, we'll recognize him in absentia, and then the whip is here of the committee. We're ready to take your presentation, Phakamani. Deputy Minister, over to you without taking much of our time. Let's just move into the business of the day.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yesterday I had to apologize for being punctual, and today, because we were accused of having committed that crime, the committee was, the team from the Land Bank was asked to wait in my office until I can say they must come through before they budge. So our apologies again now for not having been here in time. But thank you very much, Chairperson. Once again,
in fact, sorry, Deputy Minister, when the meeting of the BSA with us continued, I said, thanks, we've got the Deputy Minister inside. Nobody will come in.
Thank you, Chair. I find myself in a very difficult position. But again, Chair, we come before this committee with the Land Bank, and it is my honor indeed to present this team. The institution, Chair, is also about to become 100 years old, following hot on the heels of the institution I brought here in later last year, the PIC, and at the beginning of the year, our glorious liberation movement also turned 100 years. Now it is the Land Bank that will be turning 100 years in October this year. And I was saying to the members here, I'm also not too far from also being a centenary area. So we all know that throughout the history of this institution, there have been some serious challenges, and it has been undergoing changes in its entire history. We're therefore looking forward to the outcome of the initiative that management of the institution has taken to document the formally and to formally publish its rich and colorful history, which will hopefully have a lot of lessons for all of us, which we will share with you when the time comes. Chair, for most of us, our direct interaction with the bank commenced in the advent of the new democratic South Africa. Because of its strategic importance, we had to align this institution through policy to support the development objectives of government. When the institution faced a set of challenges associated with governance and lack of direction, we as government had to step in and bring it back to its rightful path. And I'm told it is now boring, because when it was in a crisis, it was quite exciting for some of us. We have therefore been directly involved in the efforts that have led to the successful turning around of the bank. That has been a very difficult and arduous journey. The collaboration between National Treasury and the Departments of Rural Development, Land Reform, and Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries has been very productive in this endeavor, Chairperson and committee members. Together, we specified certain objectives that the Land Bank had to achieve within a given time, and we then set about to support the institution. We are happy to say that the decision was an appropriate one, and it has paid very good dividends. We'd like to thank the board of the bank and the management team, which carried out the challenging task on the ground. And as the leader of this delegation, Chair, in our last engagement with the committee, I made a commitment that the days of reporting on the turnaround strategy are over. Today, the story will focus on the impact of the bank on agriculture since then. This will include providing information on how this was achieved and how the loan book was increased and the impact on development and the forward-looking 2016 corporate landscape. And as you are going to see during the presentation by the Chief Executive, the bank has since made some significant strides. As a result of the re-engineering carried out, the institution is now better positioned to make a meaningful impact in supporting the achievement of government objectives. The bank has undertaken some objectives to assist it to review its operations and improve service delivery for its clients. I understand that the efficiencies gained from this process have already given them good results. The loan book has grown significantly on the back of appropriate products being made available to clients. Our clients have also returned as a result of the improvements taken place in the bank. As you will learn today, Chairperson, non-performing loans are also continuously being brought down, demonstrating a renewed commitment to development. It is even more encouraging to learn that the bank has already exceeded the developmental targets that it had set itself. The bank also commits to lend an additional amount of 5 billion rands in development by 2016. This is one of the targets set out in the bank's five-year plan, which we're presenting, which the chief executive will be talking to you in a short while. And the plan has also been recently approved by the Land Bank and the shareholder, the Minister of Finance. It begins to give us a view in terms of what more we can expect from this institution. Through this additional set of stretch targets, the bank is making a statement that demonstrates its commitment to making a meaningful contribution to the development objectives whilst ensuring long-term sustainability of the institution. That's exactly what we expect from the Land Bank. The recently approved 2012/15 Land Bank Corporate Plan, which we present here today, seeks to explain how the elements of the journey come together and what the associated targets will be at each point. It clearly demonstrates the maturity that this institution has achieved over the past 4 years. And as a shareholder of this institution, we would like to further commit ourselves to policies that have an impact in improving the lives of South Africans. The Land Bank remains one of the critical government institutions that are capable of reducing the incidence of poverty and creating economic development for the country and provide its food security. Chair, the Chief Executive, as I introduce the team, Mr. Phakamani Hadebe, is sitting on my left. And on my immediate left is the board member, because we would like to apologize on behalf of the chairperson who could not make it, but we have Mr. Patrick Matidi, who represents the board. And we also have Mr. Jerome Mtembu, the Chief Legal Officer. Okay, Mr. Matidi, did you indicate that it's you?
Oh,
okay. And Jerome Mtembu, who is our Chief Legal Officer. We also have Mr. Lebohang Seriti, who is the CFO, Lebohang. And Mr. Vincent Potlwane, who is the Group Operations and Investment Officer. Welcome, and please don't accuse us of a non-gender balanced delegation, Chairperson. It just happened, you know. I don't think it is because this is a reflection of the institution. And allow me again to introduce Lefense, who I have warned against taking bribes from institutions that you appear with. Thank you. Chief Executive will hand over. Oh, Chairperson first, I mean, representing the board, Mr. Matidi.
Thank you, Deputy Minister. The Chairperson of the Standing Committee on Finance, the Honourable Members of the Standing Committee on Finance, and the Honourable Members of the Standing Committee on Agriculture. Through the leader of the delegation, Deputy Minister Babunene, I would like to thank the committee for inviting us today and give us the opportunity also to tell the Land Bank story as it has unfolded. We have been through a very difficult but yet also very interesting journey with the institution as the board. We are very appreciative of the support that we have received from this committee over the past 4 years. In addition, the three government departments, the National Treasury, the Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries Department, and also the Rural Development and Land Reform, have also ensured that the journey that we've taken has indeed taken the Land Bank to where it is today as an institution. On behalf of the board, I would also like to thank the management through the leadership of Baba Phakamani Hadebe for the commitment displayed in ensuring that the land bank actually moves from strength to strength. The achievements that the land bank has made are largely due to the commitment of the land bank team, the executive team, and as the board, we are indeed very proud and privileged to have been part of that journey. As the CEO will share with you on this presentation, significant strides have been made in various areas of the operations of the bank. Specifically in the area of development, $1 billion was committed for development over the last 2 years, ending March 2012-2013. The target has already been exceeded for the previous financial year, 2011-2012, and as the Deputy Minister indicated, over the next 5 years, the target is about $5 billion, earmarked specifically for development. The land bank has continued to improve on its controls, also on its risk processes, and the finances as we stand right now today are much healthier, and indeed the bank is on a much healthier platform in order to ensure that it does follow its mandate as articulated in the Land Bank Act 15 of 2002. As we move forward in the land bank centenary, we are more than confident that even more will be achieved. The board expects that the bank's sustainable business model, to be explained by the CEO shortly, will improve the way that the bank does business and also will allow it to provide more necessary focus and actually increase in the area of impact on development. The bank's lending activities in the economy of South Africa also have been well articulated through a model that was developed in line with the sister DFI, that being the Development Bank of South Africa. We're very proud to announce that the bank has started reporting on the progress that its development impact is having on the economy of South Africa, as we'll see in the annual report when it's released later on in the year. The board also is very committed in these targets, and also not only through management, but also very proud in the manner that everyone else in the bank has been participatory in setting these objectives. The land bank's positive performance and amidst the sea of challenges has been very encouraging, and indeed the CEO will share with you the corporate plan for the next 5 years as to where we would like the bank to be as the board. With that, if the committee allows, I'd like to hand over to the CEO to present to you the corporate plan. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Matidi. The chairman of the Standing Committee on Finance, honorable member, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for giving us time to make a presentation here today on the developments that have taken place at the Land Bank since the last time we met, which was the 18th of October last year, where we made quite a number of promises. I have been given instructions by the leader of this delegation. One is that the presentation should be very, very short. Secondly, that we have to provide a comprehensive performance of the land bank on the corporate plan as an attachment, which you will see there. And thirdly, I've been asked to concentrate mainly on what has been achieved on the commitments we made in October when we met, and where do we see the bank going forward, and we'll try to do so. Let's just go forward. In October, honorable members, we made quite a number of commitments of things we're going to achieve. We listed those things and we said we had instruments that will make sure that we achieve those things. We also highlighted some of the bottlenecks that we are facing. Today we'll be presenting the developments that have taken place since then, the achievements that have been made. But importantly for today, we are also intending to present a five-year program of what we call a corporate 2016 corporate landscape. That is where the land bank should be by 2016. Our corporate plan, which we have received, then informs us what are we going to achieve over the next three. The corporate plan goes up until 3 years in line with the MTF, and the landscape adds another 2 years. This is important because for so long we've been coming here, we've been looking at the market conditions. And based on those market conditions, we'll then determine how the land bank will perform. For example, we'll determine how the book will grow, after we have done an assessment of where the demand for agriculture will be in that particular year. Then we look at the percentage growth or what would be the impact on cost of income and all related things, without looking at the broader picture of the sustainability of the institution. Chair, what we did then was to put on a five-year program that will ensure a sustainability of the land bank. But what is important is annually, we now have what we call sustainable financial ratios. That is, we put our targets against the numbers that will ensure that the bank will survive in 5 years' time, in 20 years' time, in 30 years' time, rather than tweaking and changing the numbers depending on the market changes. We will present that. But before I go on, again, this has already been indicated by the board member here and the deputy minister that we'll be celebrating 100 years by October this year. And we highlighted the regulatory framework of the Land Bank, which is the Land Bank Act, the Public Finance Management Act, the National Credit Act, which therefore means that the guidelines within which the Land Bank operates are informed to a great extent by the National Credit Act. Now, Mr. Deputy Minister, I'm not going back to explain the turnaround strategy, but this is important. Every time we're here with this committee, it shows the road we have traveled together for the past 4 years, and we've been with you. When we came here 4 years back, we said we were going to clean up the institution as a first phase. We said the turnaround strategy in three phases: the cleanup, which was mainly the audit issues. Over and above the audit issues, there were parliamentary issues that you raised here. In October, we highlighted those and we indicated that we have dealt with them. There were some of the issues raised by SCOPA, and there were forensic investigations that had to be undertaken. We have done all of that. Then there was the issue of stabilizing the financial operations of the institution, but not just stopping or addressing the deterioration of the balance sheet. Well, it was also to put in appropriate systems to ensure the sustainability of the institution and putting an enhanced human capacity. We've been able to attract the appropriate people to come and work for the bank. So we have dealt with the HR capacity, information technology, we're using the SAP, we've been happy. The balance sheet continues to improve. We highlighted last time that the LDFU remains an area where we are struggling. If I might just remind the members, the LDFU, Land for Development Finance Unit, are those projects that were outside of the mandate, the Gulf Estates, as they are called. The last time we were here, Chair, we had, out of nine that we had sold two. Since then, we've been able to sell one more. So we have sold three out of nine, but the market is saturated with products like this. But I'm happy to inform the committee that we are close to about closing a deal on our biggest transaction on LDFU, which is almost 50% of the whole project. There are partners we are looking to. We hope that by September, when we come back, that will have been concluded. The funding dynamics, the investors continue to be attracted on our paper. The cost to income continues to come down. Now, when we put this in, we thought that through the cleanup and stabilization, the sustainability of the institution will come natural. That is, it should have normalized, and all of a sudden, the book will grow and development will grow. But it became apparent and clear to us that that was not the way to do business. We soon realized that the whole business plan needed to be reviewed, because it was totally outdated. It had not been reviewed during the past 15, 20 years or so. We then put on what we call Fit for Future, which is an operating business model. But now it means we have normalized the situation. As well, like any other bank, you look at your business plan, you look at the market conditions, you then try to reshape and repositioning the institution so that it can be sustainable. It can make projections in the short term, in the medium term, and in the long term. That Fit for the Future, which was presented previously, indicate where the land bank should be by 2016. We're saying in 2016, the land bank should be predictable and it should enhance its customer interaction. that development impact should form the nucleus of the business of the land bank, that we should have sustainable delivery channels, and that we should have achievable targets. That's an ideal picture of the land bank by 2016. But, Chair, that does not necessarily mean that, that we haven't done anything since then. We have been working on the Fit for Future for the past 2 years, and we have reasons to be happy about what we have seen. Okay. For example, we have established a business unit that is focused on emerging farmers. Now, when you're talking emerging farmers, it's not all the black farmers. We are talking about those farmers who cannot have access to the financial institutions, be it because of the balance sheet or the credit story. We have created a unit that is called REM. It's Retail Emerging Market, which will come up later. And we put a target, which we came in October, we highlighted what we were seeking to achieve. Today we'll present on whether we've met the target. We have optimized the back office activities. What was happening at the land bank is that each and every branch, and we have 27 of them, all of them had back office activities, which means we were duplicating the activities. We have since created two hubs that are centers of the back office. One is in Bloemfontein for the south, and the other one is in Pretoria. By so doing, we have allowed the business or the branches to concentrate on their core business, that is to go out there and get business, that is sales. So through that, we have optimized the delivery channel. But again, the BCB and RCB capacity has been enhanced. The BCB is business and corporate banking, which is the commercial side of the bank, and the RCB is the retail commercial bank, again, the commercial side of the bank, because we have allowed them to concentrate on their core business without going to the farmer and write the story, come back, write a report, take the report, take it to the back office. The guys look at it, the report is written very well, and it's 2-3 weeks down the line before it's concluded. Now they go, do the work, we have a template, they take it to the hub, and we have a team behind them that will do a quick assessment to see whether is it worth the bank to do business with those people. Therefore, you find that there has been a high-performance, people-oriented culture that we intend to build, but culture takes a bit longer because we're still working with people that have gone through the changing environment of the land bank. We have standardized the processes. We have, as I've already indicated, increased the sales forecast, but there's real-time management reports now. In other words, if the application takes a bit longer, we're able to go back and pick up the bottlenecks immediately, exactly where they are. If you are bloated, you think you see there's something wrong, but you are not able to pinpoint to exactly state what is wrong. We are now able to do so. We have improved the turnaround times. It used to take about 4 or 5 months to apply. Sometimes now it can take 2-3 weeks, or it can take up to a month. We can still improve. We have introduced a customized centricity inculcation, or that is the customer centricity that is inculcated in our own operation. Now, Chair, this sounds very good, but we are not where we're supposed to be. We are far better than where we were 2-3 years back. In fact, even when we're here in October, we're still promising to do this thing. We have done very well in some of them, but over the next 2-3 years, you'll see the bank becoming even more efficient. So we still have some challenges here and there. But the performance of the bank would indicate that we have reasons to be happy about what has been achieved. Now, having done so, when we're here again, we made a promise that we have come up with what we refer to as a sustainable business model. That sustainable business model was informed by a couple of principles. The first one, Chair, was that the commercial side of the land bank should cross-subsidize the retail emerging or the small-scale farming. That was the first thing. That is, the land bank should not expect to make profits out of the retail emerging small-scale farmers, but we should get the advantage of having a bigger commercial side. The second issue is that we noted that we are not going to be able to finance the retail emerging small-scale farmers by going to the market and borrowing. Once you put this in the market, the investors withdraw and say the risk is just too much. We are not going to put our money. So we decided to ring fence the retail emerging market. So what you have is the profits that you are getting from the land bank insurance company, which is our subsidiary, plus the profits that you are making from the retail commercial banking and business and commercial banking, which is the commercial side of the bank, going to the retail emerging market. Then, to further finance that, we then go and pick our class institutions for cheaper funding. And Chair, maybe you recall that that we are about to conclude a one-to-one transaction with a multilateral institution that will assist, about half of that will be coming in here. They have already given us an in-principle approval, but there are a couple of things that need to be done. It will then allow us to have the appropriate funding for that. With the government support, again, we came here and we spoke about the wholesale. I remember as a member, Ms. Lamino had a lot of questions on that. That's when we're indicating how the Department of Agriculture will work with the land bank. We have results on that. So we had a target and we'll indicate today what has been achieved. This is sustainable because it then allows the land bank to concentrate on its core. But what is important is when you talk, again, I want to emphasize, the retail emerging market is not all the black farmers. I think the majority of the people around the table here will not qualify for this because they have access on credit. This is meant for farmers that do not have access on that. The majority of the people around the table, Jeff, including you, if you have an interest, you will fall somewhere here. You'll fall somewhere here where we can make some money out of you.
Maybe gain funding.
Now, with this sustainable business model, together with the Feed for Future, we are happy to report the achievements that have been made since the previous time. The first thing, Chair, is we've been able to grow the loan book by 47.4%. Now, we were targeting 10%. That is a growth of the total loan book in financial year 11 of 15.3 billion. That is 13.6 plus 1.7. We've been able to grow this to an amount of 21.5 billion. That's an increase of 6.2 billion rand. Now, that is not just the book that has grown, but we have also been able to reduce the non-performing loans by 39%. That is a drop from 11% to 6.7%. Now, the drop in non-performing loans is not only because the book has grown, but it's also because we've been able to reduce the rand amount of non-performing loans. That is from 1.7 to 1.4. It's a drop of 300 million. Now, Chair, you will recall there was a member in October who raised an issue that in as much as we have reduced non-performing loans to about 11%, they remain very, very high for sustainability of the institution. We indicated that we had put systems and tools, and that when we come back, we think the story would be much better. But we also highlighted that as we move more on the development side, we should be able to come up with what we think is appropriate NPL for the sustainability of the bank. We'll talk about that. But this has come down. But this is not only, the drop is not only on the non-performing and an increase in the book by 6.2 billion. Also, the impairments, we have done very well. We have reduced the impairments by 35%. Again, impairments is a drop in the asset due to a non-performing side, the value of the asset. So, again, you'll see that we reduced it from 6.5 to about 4.2, which is a 35% drop. This is still by February, it's not by the end of the financial year. In rand amounts, is a drop from a billion to about 900 million. At this stage, the sustainability of the bank is intact. And over and above that, we seem to have dealt with all those challenges that have been creeping up from time to time. Now, that's the story that we have broadly. The rest of some of the performance are in the document that we've provided. But again, last year we didn't meet the development issue. And we came in October and we explained the products that we are putting, and we said, we highlighted that we intended to achieve the objective this year. And the next slide. Members will recall that when we launched the annual report, we had made a commitment, Chair, that we were going to raise $1 billion on development, of course, in different markets, over 2 years. It was going to be $450 million for this year and $550 million for 2013. I'm happy, Chair, to announce that in 1 year we've been able to raise an amount of, in development, $833 million. Mm. And out of this $833 million, we can break it down. REM, the small-scale farmers, we're targeting $100 million this year. We raised $132 million. For RCB, which is retail commercial banking, we're also targeting $100 million. We raised $122. And BNCB, that's the big corporates, which are working with emerging farmers here. We were targeting a $250 million. And we raised $578 million. Now, the question that will come immediately is the risk. You'll think, are you not just throwing the money? But we had failed in the past 3 years to meet the target of development. And every time we're here, we were trying to explain the challenges that we're facing, that instead of throwing the money, we want to come up with what we think is appropriate or the products that are appropriate to deal with this market. And I think in the past 3.5-4 years we've been able to do so, Chair. We have reasons to do that. Out of the $1.4 billion that is non-performing, since the transfer to the National Treasury, the new non-performing loans that have come up over 3 years, not just 1 year, over 4 years, are less than $50 million because we've been able to put in appropriate control systems, risk management, the processes and procedures and policies. So we are still beginning to reap the fruits. But of course, like any other market, we'll always have challenges. But unlike previously, where we found that there would be a larger chunk of non-performing loans coming in 1 year that are about 67% of the paper, we think that we have now been able to deal with that issue. Now, having said so, when it comes to the market share, we did an assessment as to what is appropriate for the land bank to have an impact in agriculture. And the numbers that came up from the Department of Agriculture indicated last year that the land bank remains the cheapest money lending institution in agriculture. Now, if we are the cheapest money lending institution in agriculture and we want to ensure food security in South Africa, but over and above that, to have some kind of a positive impact on the increasing or rising food prices in South Africa. In October, we came here and we indicated that the food price in South Africa has been one of the highest in the world. And we noted that if the land bank can be able at least to have a market share of about 35%, That will allow the farmers to reduce or to increase, or it will allow the farmers to add another 10 to 15% as savings in their operation. One assumes that that 10 to 15% will then be transferred to the South Africans themselves. Then we set out a target as to, at that time we were sitting here at 26% market share. We said, what would be an ideal way we're going to have a real impact on food price in South Africa? And we found out that because we're still carrying some of the inefficiencies, that if we can at least achieve 35% market share by 2016, we'll have a greatest impact. But at that time, we didn't know that between these 2 years, the book would have grown by 47, close to about 50%. We targeted a growth of about 15%. against the annual growth in agriculture, which is normally 10%. So we wanted to grow at about 15, whereas agriculture is 15. And we calculated that that will take us up until 2016 to arrive at 35%. But these numbers came up in February, because we are still talking February, where we are already sitting at 32% because of the growth that has been achieved this year. And we are not sure whether we can maintain this momentum. But purely on the financial and risk management, we don't think that we can achieve 50% over 3 years continuously with that bigger risk that you are inheriting. So we'll look at that as we move forward. So as we talk now, it means we have been able to increase that from the last time we were here, it was about 26-27% to an estimated 32%. But we're still waiting for the final numbers check from the Department of Agriculture. We have been informed, if I could tell the members here, honorable members, that the Department of Agriculture is contemplating reviewing this number. So when, if next time we come with new numbers, it will be because they've changed. And should they do so, we'll carry these numbers and the new formula that they might introduce. Okay, thanks. Now, while everything looks very well, there's an area where we have been struggling. The process has been rather slow. And that is the curatorship model. Members will recall that in 2009, the Ministers of Agriculture, Rural Development and Agriculture and Finance, were requested to come up with a plan that will, a curatorship model that will assist those farmers, emerging small-scale farmers, that were already on legal, to resuscitate and reinvent and put them back in the market. There were three departments, finance, agriculture, rural development, together with the land bank that had to work and come up with a solution. And cabinet had said, if this is successful, then the funding of the small-scale farmers will then be moved into a budget process where we'll come to the deputy minister and request. That was what the cabinet said. Since then, what has happened is the guarantee mortgage of that loan was received from the rural development. The production loans that were owed by those people was also received. We did a farm evaluation by the 15th of October last year, and we came up with a report. And the legal framework, which was an issue, there's been an agreement now how we're going to work with it. But it became clear that if we were to just push the money in again, we're risking having exactly the same problem. A team from National Treasury, Department of Agriculture, Land Bank, and Rural Development went into the countries that seemed to have had a very good model to deal with small-scale farmers. And that is, I think it was Brazil, India, and China. And they came back and they noted that out of all these three countries, there seemed to be one common denominator. That is, the model that's been used seems to borrow from the strategies that were put in by Rabobank. The team then opened discussions with Rabobank that they can come and help us. And Rabobank has been here. They did an assessment of the 31 farms of the 208 farms. That need to be resuscitated. And they put on a plan as to how we should deal with them. The intention is to come up with a template that will then be used for these farms. But we then hope that if it's successful, that's a template that will then be rolled over for the rest of the small-scale farmers. So we are taking a bit longer in implementing. Last time when we were here, we said by January, we have started. That is to resuscitate the fund. We are not there. And Lebuhan, what do you think? I think
we should start, I think, by August.
By August. With August, you'll have written the whole report and everything. But again, the characters of the farmers that we're dealing with is still broken into three. Those that can pay who decide that they don't want to pay, who about, the last time we checked, was about 10%. The second group are those that were given farms and they are struggling, they have hectares and hectares, but they can work on 1.5 hectares or two, and what they produce is not good enough to sustain the business. But they are willing to work. That's the largest chunk of about 65 to about 68%. Then there's a third group. Those are the farms that have been abandoned, that we'll have to take them back to the Department of Rural Development and get other people to take over. So we are working on that, but this is one area where we are behind. The next one, Chair, I don't have to come to this, because we have an auditor. Last time when we were here, we presented the social accounting metrics as to what is the impact of the land bank loans. Last year, we had dispersed a total amount of $17.9 billion. On the development impact, the employment, which we indicated was 188, semi-skilled, skilled, and everything. It hasn't changed. This will be audited after the financial. So next time we come here, we'll have to compare the two as to whether we've had a far better impact than this. But just from the number of the net increase of the book, it's a net because the gross is higher. The net increase of 6.2 billion means that the situation would be far, far even better. And I would like to remind the members that the SAM highlighted that for each million that the land bank disperses, it creates agriculture, creates not just in agricultural sector, but throughout the sector, the business sector, creates roughly about 8 to 10 jobs. That if we are able to grow the land bank and we are able to source cheaper funding and we are efficient, this is an area that would be able to create jobs. The second one is the mining that comes with 4 jobs per million. So it matters if agriculture could reach a stage of efficiency. Yes, thanks. Now, that is what we have done and the promises we have made. Now, Chair, we have spoken about what we call a corporate landscape 2016. That is where the land bank should be in 2016. We then said the land bank should, in 2016, have a market share of 35%. The development book in different sectors should increase by, should be at least about 15%. If you're saying 15%, it looks very, very small. But if you look at the rent amount of an additional amount, as indicated by the Deputy Minister and Mr. Patrick Matidi here, our board member, it means that over the next 5 years, we will have to put in an additional $5 billion in development. Now, at that time, we were planning, the plan was that we will raise 415 this year, at the end of March 31st, 2012, and 550 the following year. But we have since raised about 850 that we indicated, which means the pace might be quicker than what we thought initially. And we were contemplating that the bank has to create new jobs, about 360,000, in that period of time. And on the risk management, we were planning that the maturity of the risk management should be defined. Defined is a middle level of risk management. The bottom one is called development. Then it's defined, then it's management. You have to do quite a lot of things to have come into defined, and we've started to move in there. In 4 or 5 years' time, we think we'll be fully fledged there, so that we deal with all other risks that be coming in. But for us to deal with all those things, we need data that spans about 5 years back. And because the land bank has had its own special problems in the past 5 years, the data that we have sometimes is not that reliable. So going forward, that is where we should be. We want to be in the top three of the best company to work for in the public sector. We have compared the results because we, against the whole market, we are behind. Because of transformation, we're putting new things, systems, we're moving people around, and others just don't like what they see, the usual exercise. We are behind when you are looking at a broad company. But if you take some of the public institutions that are part of this team, we seem to be in a better side of that. We would put more effort on this. But finally, is where should we be in 2016? We see ourselves being in a BE level 2, minimum. Right now, we moved from 5, we went to 4, and we think in the next 4 or 5 months' time we'll be 3. The gap between 3 and 2 is quite substantial. We'll put a lot of effort, but by 2016 we should be there. For us then, which is where the land bank would be in 2016, for us to achieve all these things, they should be enablers. The system, the instruments that will take us. The first one is, we have already indicated, is our operating business model, the fit for future. The second one is development. We've put the whole development strategy, the policies, the target, the products, the instruments, and the risk measures that will take us there. Then the third issue is quite important. It's called business sustainability scenario model. It's what I've already spoken about. It tells us annually, for us to achieve this thing, what percentage growth should the book be? What should be the cost to income? What should be the non-performing loans? Where should be development? And all other key ratios that will ensure that come 2016, we are there. Enterprise risk management, another tool that will ensure that defined maturity, we achieve defined maturity. Human capital, we have the plan over the next 5 years, but at least we think we'll make sure that we are in the sector top 3 of the public sector. But I would like to highlight that right now, because of all those changes that are taking place at the bank, and people being moved around, and people that have been put on terms because of performance, there are those that do not like this. So there would be a small group of people that don't like what they're doing. Yeah. So that is where we want to be. But for us then to be there, we have to go to the performance. So this just is a summary of the document that we have. You will note, Chair, that on the green is what we had this year. We call it key performance indicators because before then, we didn't have a sustainable scenario model. We were just working on what we thought the bank could achieve. And on that, we had put in the target as follows. We said the cost to income, because of the new systems, the legacies that we are dealing with, you might have read the newspapers, we won one big case, we lost one big one, and the whole infrastructure and putting new systems to move the bank forward, the cost to income was expected to remain high. We managed by February, it's not audited, to achieve about 70%. The net interest margin at 3.4, but because the book has grown more than the expectation, it comes at about 3.8. Gross interest margin, we had 39%, we came at 45%. Capital adequacy, through the National Treasury, they put a cap that it should not go beyond 20%, but the book grew too fast. Last time when we were here, we were sitting at about 42-43%. It has come down to 32%. NPLs, we had a target of 10.5 from about 11.5. Yeah, we managed, we reduced this further to about 6.7. Growing the loan book, we were targeting a growth of 10%. At that time, we were taking the agricultural growth, which is 10% annual, and we said it should not do better than that. And we achieved 47%, as already indicated. Development, we had 450 million, we achieved 833. Now, it might create an impression that we put the scale very low. It isn't. It's just that it's been a phenomenal year for us. It comes from us, and we have a board. And the largest chunk of the board, because of what happened at the land bank, are from the financial sector. And they did a thorough assessment to see if this was a stretch good enough for a DFI. But after that, then it went to the National Treasury. And I think, Deputy Minister, you will agree with me that we have a tendency of retaining back the corporate plan. Yeah, and that was accepted with the discussions with the other two departments of agriculture and rural development. So we are happy with what we had. It's just that the performance from the land bank staff this year was rather good. Then, for next year, then it ceases to be key performance, just key performance indicators. For next year, we then say,
for 2012-2013, what should be the sustainable level of cost to income? What should be the sustainable level of net interest margin, the gross interest margin, the capital adequacy, NPR, loan book, and development? Now, irrespective of where the market is, for us to achieve a 35% market share, to add $5 billion in development, to create 360,000 jobs by 2015, this is what it says we should have. The cost to income will be range bound between 73 and 70% over the next 5 years. Net interest margin will go up, then it will stabilize at about 4.2%. Gross interest margin, it stabilizes at about the range of about 31-32% over the next 5 years. And non-performing loans. Now, non-performing loans, we are already sitting at about 6.5, but we are putting the model put the sustainability at about 10% across. That's above where we are, because you begin to see development increasing. And as development is, especially small scale, coming up, there are risks. Now, you needed to put in a model and see the risk appetite that the land bank would be able to take to achieve all those things, and it put it exactly at this level. The loan book growing of the loan book, we're looking, as we have already indicated, 15% across the next 5 years. Then development. On development, it's already been explained, we're just giving it annually. That is $5 billion over the next 5 years. But through you, the leader of the delegation, Deputy Minister, we then decided to break down for the committee development as to indicate how the $5 billion will be achieved by different sectors, different sub-businesses within the land bank. And this is how it comes up. That is a REF, small scale, RCB and BCB. And this is the development that if we increase by this amount, it will have made 15% of the book. And this is, Deputy Minister, the last presentation, and thank you so much for giving us an ear.
Thank you very much. I'm allowed officially to invade this space. The chairperson is still attending to an emergency. So I don't know, Honorable Deputy Minister, if there are any additions to the presentation. Okay. Honourable members, there we go. A very ambitious plan to 2060, you know. We are left with how many minutes? 15. 15. 15. 15. 15. 15. 15. 15. 15. 15. So it says, yeah, we'll just have to be very, very efficient in our way of asking and obviously answering some of the questions that will be posed by members. Honourable members, it's your turn. I've noted Honourable Koranov. Any other hand? Honourable Ross. Member there, I didn't note your, what's your name, by the way?
It's Honourable Stein, I'm from Agriculture.
Good, good. Honourable Stein, you are all welcome. Any other hand? Okay, let's go. Or the whip, Honourable Twala, also noted. We can start.
Thank you, Acting Chairperson. Just congratulations from our side. I think this is a good news story. And, you know, to see the turnaround in our little tenure of the Standing Committee is really commendable. But can I ask, you know, if I listen to the presentation, you are not at all worried about your loan book, not at all. But if you listen to the other commercial banks in South Africa, they're cautious about their loan books. And because we are living in difficult times, agriculture is not the most profitable industry to be in. Can we have your assurance that you are comfortable with your loan book and that you are not going to surprise us in the next 24 months on that one?
Okay, Honourable Ross.
Just a comment regarding something that I picked up on Google regarding EDASA small-scale agricultural project, and I think the land bank is involved in that. I also noticed some feedback regarding that and the progress on the 1 billion for emerging farmers, which is also good news, and I'm glad to see that EDASA is involved in that. It's quite significant, and it shows also a bit of confidence there. The agriculture's contribution to the GDP, if I'm correct, is only 2.6% as compared to manufacturing for the same period of 14.5%, which clearly shows that there's a niche market that, in terms of the jobs that can be created by agriculture, that we should have a concerted focus on agriculture. And perhaps we can, if we compare these two percentages, we can say perhaps it's, at this point in time, perhaps a neglected sector. And I really think, as the Finance Committee, we should take note of that. I was very impressed regarding the sustainable business model, and I think it's quite unique, and it's good that we have a sustainable business model, and I would like to congratulate the presenter and his team and the Land Bank for the turnaround strategy in terms of this. The problem seems to be, once again, the retail emerging markets. That needs to be subsidized via the business model, and it would be interesting to get some more feedback regarding this, because we just heard the presentation and we were not fully briefed how this model works. And also the curatorship model that up to date is highly significant. The 10%, if you broke it down in three categories, sir, the 10%, the payment by non-payment by those who don't want to pay, that we can accept it. You always get it in any business venture, perhaps. If my calculations is correct, there's a 25% that abandoned the farms, which is highly significant, and perhaps we would...
Is
it about 10? Okay, but I think we only got two percentages, the 10 and the 65%. I then assumed that the 25 is the rest. I accept then, and you will give me more detail. My concern, however, is on the 65% on farms that's struggling. Let's call it the bona fide farmers that really would like to make ends meet. My question is in regard to the interim financing arrangements of these people, and I believe that your template will be coming in process in August. What is happening in the interim? Could these farms survive? And also, of course, taking, you know, the high food prices, and which is somebody mentioned the highest in the world. Is that correct? And that we need to look at that and the risk for the society at large. Thank you very much.
All right. Yes, and I remember you.
Yes, thank you, Chairperson. Sorry for being late. I'm from the agriculture portfolio, and we only got notice quite late, and I already had another meeting earlier. Chair, my question was partially covered by Honourable Ross, but my concern would also be, and I know it's not Land Bank's problem, but just to find out if there was any discussions with Land Reform and Rural Development regarding all the other farms. The curatorship model is based on the 208 farms. Whether you have other farms that does not fall as part of this curatorship model that could move into your program at a certain stage, and if you've ever really looked at it and what the cost impact of that would be, because I'm concerned from a land reform and agricultural perspective of the other farmers that we haven't even touched base with or spoke about. That's all that I want to ask. Thanks.
Thank you. Honourable Tora.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think the first speaker did cover most of the concerns. Now, just on page 8, would like to get an understanding on the impairment or drop in performance. What are the causes of this? Yeah, of the impairment, yeah. And then in connection with the repossessions of the farmers, because we still have these coming up, that it's still happening. How far is the land bank in addressing this? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Adams.
Thank you, Chairperson.
The Land Bank operates a subsidiary of the Land Bank Insurance Company. And it wants to establish two new subsidiaries. By when will the subsidiaries be installed? And what are the conditions that the bank must meet with regard to the establishment of these two new subsidiaries? And who would be the beneficiaries of the establishment of these subsidiaries? And is there any insurance for farm workers?
You can switch off your... Okay. Thank you very much. Those are the questions. Maybe let me just give my few questions. Do you have any cap for your cost-to-income ratio? I think it's key for us to get to know that. I think I'm a bit content with your capital increase ratio. I think it's a bit acceptable. And also, you said you will be creating, you gave quite some high figures around job creation. Can we have a breakdown? I mean, which of those are temporary jobs or which of those are permanent jobs? And lastly, on to our credit risk scoring model. You know, one of the biggest challenges that as a development institution, you like to obviously assist those who were previously disadvantaged. And due to historical reasons, known to all of us here, I mean, this category of your market is highly risky. So I'm not sure how do you obviously compare this particular approach to your intention of ensuring that our people in that particular area are properly empowered. Thank you very much, and this is your opportunity then to respond, and this is my opportunity then to vacate this invaded space. Thank you very much.
Where do I start?
I thought you asked me. it's a time for the minister to respond.
Okay, all right.
Thank you, Chair. I think the first question was from Mr. Gorinwa. Thank you to all the members for the positive feedback we are getting. Mr. Gorinwa, the question was, are we not worried about the growing loan book? As the banks have indicated, maybe that there are some concerns on that. The CFO will come in here. It depends on the type of a product that you are getting. It could be secured loan, unsecured loan. It could be non-interest income and related issues. With a bank, if you are looking purely on agriculture, and having explained that if you are looking at our performance during the past 3-4 years, you will note that the non-performing loans that have been created have been less than 50 million or so. The largest chunk of people that we are attracting here are those that have been outside and the big companies that had left the land bank because of what took place at the bank. What do I mean? I mean, the largest chunk of the loans that came back are institutions that are co-ops, and out of the top 10 co-ops or so, I think we have now got back 8. And there's only one that I can think of that is no longer back then. So that is the nucleus of agriculture in South Africa. And we still have those terms and conditions and the risk committee and the policies that we have to adhere to. So we are not willy-nilly accepting that. But let's go to the banking sector. The challenge with the banking sector and the loans that have come up is that at some stage, especially on the property side, I think my colleague here, the board member, will talk more because that's his field. You know. It was opening up the loan book without looking at the security and following the credit policies and processes. That was the biggest challenge with the bank. So because it grew so fast and so quickly and at an inflated price, some of it, where the value with the market changing was far less than the loans that were being owed, it created that vacuum. We don't have that vacuum right now on the assessment. So we are comfortable with what we are getting, but we should also take note of the fact that the investments in agriculture have been growing exponentially in South Africa. Why are they growing so much? It's because the South African agricultural business is now targeting the rest of the continent. And the continent has opportunities for South African farmers to go into. And we can go with them as a land bank. But I'll leave it to my colleague to add further.
Thank you. If I may, through you, Chair. I think the one issue that the executive did not mention is if you look at the drop in arrears or the non-performing part of the book, it's actually also been through active collections. And I think that Land Bank has had a bad history of giving out loans and then they forget to collect.
Yeah, yeah.
So over the last 2-3 years, conveniently forget.
Yeah.
Over the last 2-3 years, there's actually been an improvement in the risk management processes to the extent that, you know, we know who the clients are, we know where they are, we know that the purpose of the loan is actually being used for what it was applied for, and the money comes in as and when it is expected. And therefore, you know, from that perspective, the improvement from a low base is significant, but some of the macro factors, as mentioned, my country's perspective, some of those actually apply to the land bank also.
If I can add, in fact, you know, if you look at our lending approach in comparison to the commercial banks, you know, at some stage we were concerned that we were too conservative in comparison to them, and as a result, we're losing a lot of business. But I think that approach has, and we're seeing the positive effects of that approach now, in that our NPLs are coming down because of a very conservative approach. We've got what we call a norms and standards, and those are very conservative in comparison to a lot of the commercial banks.
Yes, okay. Then there was a question, Chair, from Mr. Ross. We are happy about what DASA has done. You know, it's planted. We haven't had built the relationships. I recall that there was an executive member when it comes to the newspapers who indicated that we can begin to work with them, and we're looking forward to that. And the contribution of agriculture, 2.3%, that's the primary sector because of the full chain. The whole agricultural contribution in agriculture could go to about 6, 7, 8% or so, if you are looking at the whole food chain. And I agree with the Honorable Member. There are many opportunities that we have. And we think that if you've been listening, if you read the new growth path, and you looked at the new development on the planet, they emphasize one important thing, and that is the growing role that government will play in agriculture, and we are looking forward to that. That was the issue. Okay, thanks. The Honourable Member also talked about the sustainable business model and the subsidizing of emerging farmers on the curatorship model, those who do not want to pay. Yes, the Minister made a conscious decision. Maybe the Deputy Minister could take that because he was right. That for those that do not want to pay, but they are willing to pay, that then the bank will have to come in and exercise its right. Yes.
Thanks. Chair, as we stated earlier, particularly during the turnaround period, that with the categories that the Chief Executive has alluded to, the first category, which he said is a category that is not necessarily the first category, but there is a category that needs to be assisted. And that category, the banks and with the three departments working together, is where we are consciously taking steps to assist. But those also that are not, that are keeping the farms and not paying, you know, and just refusing to pay, saying if the farm is not making a profit, then why are you keeping it? And if the farm is making a profit, then why are you not paying? Because, I mean, it's either, you know, I mean, it's a logical thing to do. So we say the bank should actually also be very strict on those and make sure that also in the interest of the entire agricultural sector that we look at that. And therefore, coming to the question of repossessions as well, if there actually isn't a stick, then the carrot is not going to be, no one is going to buy the carrot. So whilst there is a carrot for those that are struggling who need to be assisted, the bank is there to assist, and it's also working with the three departments. The Department of Agriculture has a role to play, the Department of Rural Development has a role to play. But where people do not pay and the farms are actually supposed to be making a profit, they can't be left to their own. Thanks.
The question on credit scoring model, the question was whether does our credit scoring model discriminate against on development lines. It was from the deputy chair. We have addressed this issue, deputy chair, operationally. What we have done is we have we have a policy that is tailored to each specific business unit. For example, if you look at the retail emerging markets, one of the key things that has been an impediment in that market in South Africa has been lack of access to credit, because most of those farmers who are actually development clientele do not have assets. By that we mean balance sheets. They don't have any securities that they can pledge. We have addressed that issue by putting in place a specific credit policy that does not require that as conditions for providing a loan. What we look at, for example, is things like crop itself. In many cases, what we will take the crop, because we know most people from these communities do not have houses like Mr. Hadebe does, for example, that they can pledge to the bank. But if they buy cattle, that cattle is our security. So we have put in place policies that discriminate in terms of, for example, Mr. Hadebe having a house. His house we will take as security, there's no doubt about that. But if Mr. X from a poor community comes, he wants to buy cattle or he wants to plant maize, we then take the maize or the cattle as security and we don't require a house. However, to minimize the risk, which relates to the issue of are we comfortable slightly with our loan book, we have put in place a model that we called provision of aftercare support. We have entered into partnerships with a number of players in the sector, for example, in the sugarcane industry, in the livestock industry, whereby these partners have the technical know-how to manage risk. They are on the ground, they work with these farmers, they inform them, when to test the soil, as an example, when to inoculate animals with what, how many quantities, is it temperature, for example, soil temperature appropriate to plant or not, what fertilizers to apply, what pesticides to apply, when. So it is a package, really, that we have put in place, and indeed our credit models have been are not discriminating on the basis of either a person has the balance sheet or not, but are discriminating on the basis of those who don't have security. We won't discriminate against them, I beg your pardon, but we will provide them specific products, like the CEO highlighted, that are tailored to address those shortcomings, with the objective for us as a development finance institution to create access to financing or credit to that specific each market component across the three divisions, which is retail emerging markets, retail commercial banking, and business and corporate banking. So each of those business divisions has its own specific policy that address, that are meant to remove the impediments that were impeding access to credit, particularly by development farmers.
The deputy minister is showing time, so we'll quickly run down. The honourable member, Mr. Ross, you also asked the 65% of the struggling, that 65% that
there is sitting there that we, that is willing, that needs to be assisted? What risk measures have we adopted? I think the CFO is running the project. Johan, could we?
Okay. In terms of
CFO, could we?
Okay, good. In terms of the farmers that I think that that do bona fide farmers that do, actually do want to farm, but because of maybe very factors they cannot farm. I think often I think we did an exercise where we actually evaluated the reasons why they were failing, and we found that most of them are actually financing themselves out of internal working capital, meaning that they would have scaled down their farming activities to allow them to actually farm within. A very small area. I mean, there was an example where we, there was a farmer who had an 88-hectare farm, but because of lack of capital, I think that farmer was only farming on 1 hectare. So I think that that shows that there is a scale to actually increase production on that farm.
Okay. Thank you. And through you, Chair, all I remember you standing here, the relationship with rural development. Actually, they are part and parcel of the procedure, of the process of trying to resuscitate these farmers. Cabinet had indicated that we'll use this as a pilot project. If it works, then it should be a model that would be used for the rest of the farms.
Yes.
I think, Honourable Member Twala, yeah? What causes impairments? Quickly, Johan.
I think impairments dropped. It's a good thing because of ongoing recovery. I think in terms of our model, they take into account the latest history of recoveries. And as a result of additional increased recoveries, therefore we have to impair less of the loan book itself.
The value, we have an asset. If you buy a house and we give you 1,000 rand, there's an asset that is 1,000. But if you can't pay the whole 1,000 and there's something that happens that is less than the 1,000, we need to impair that. So the impairment, when they come down, it means the quality of the book is improving. Okay, thank you. The question was establishing 2 subsidiaries of insurance. Who are the beneficiaries? The Land Bank has had, honorable member, The land bank has had insurance company since 1957, which was requested by the farmers themselves to provide long-term insurance. It was mainly life. But we soon realized that there was a need to also introduce short-term insurance. So that short-term could be insurance in the form of crop insurance. And the laws have changed. One insurance company cannot produce both. You need to split it. We then put on a business plan and went to the Minister of Finance and the Deputy Minister. They looked at the plan and they were happy. Then it went to the FSB, and the FSB has given an in-principle approval. The target is not just all the target is all the farmers, not just the land-based farmers. But importantly is we're also coming up with products. They seek to target emerging small-scale farmers because insurance is very expensive and they struggle to have those. Okay, then, sorry, who? Which answer? The cap on cost-to-income ratio. The rule of thumb indicate, could you go to that sustainability?
Honourable members, you have posed questions. They are responding. Can you pay attention?
The rule of thumb for a DFI is that a developer finance institution is that the cost to income should be between 65% to 70% because of the risk that those institutions take. That's a rule of thumb. In a normal environment for a bank, we are expected to have a cost to income of about 50% to 55%. With us, we have the sustainability model indicate which levels are we, that are 14, okay, sorry. It indicates what is the stretch of the risk that we can be able to take. Now, it looks very, very high, but there are a couple of things that we have to highlight here. The one is we are dealing with some of the legacy issues. So the cost on the legal side is very, very high. And we still get a lot of professional help in some of the things. That is true. And on the other side, we are putting in a new model that will take the land bank forward, which is costly. And we had a discussion on the strategy that in as much as the cost has remained relatively high, do we cut the number of employees? And we took a conscious decision that as a government entity, we should emphasize the revenue-generating activities. We went back to the staff and said, staff, we have two options, to cut or revenue. If you put more effort on the revenue and we can see the story, we are not going to cut. I think the story is there. But the cost to income itself, if you are looking at the land bank at this level, is doing very, very well. Because if you take, not that we are a commercial bank, but if you take the commercial bank, which is an article that came about 6 months back from the Reserve Bank. If you take the commercial banks in South Africa and you take out the non-interest income, the cost to income of the banks rises from 90 to 120, which is far above us here. If you are looking at the book of the bank, the interest income is 99% of our income. So we are not having other instruments that will allow us to make money through non-interest income. Of course, over time you'll see it coming slowly, but not as aggressive as the bank. So at this level, from 82 to 70 over the next 5 years, it will be sustainable. Okay, thank you. Is the insurance for farm workers? I'm not sure. I don't think we have put it in, but it's something that we could look into. Could we come back to the honourable member? We will look as to whether what kind of product can we produce in that. But I don't think we have looked into that. The job creation. Sorry. Yeah. You want to take it? Okay. Could you? Okay. Thanks. On the job creation, on the job creation, the jobs that the land can create, there's money that we provide for operational purposes and for construction. The construction are silos and infrastructure that needs to be built. That's when we are starting from scratch building a new loan. I mean building a new infrastructure. In accounting terms, if you have a loan, you build a silo and it's a 20-year loan. We then calculate the inflation. That is when inflation depreciation comes down, we'll reduce the number of jobs created in that particular job over time. When it comes to what we call the operational skills, it's a loan that we provide. If a farmer continuously borrow over 3 months, 100,000 rand, that doesn't create the job. It maintains the jobs that he already has. But if he creates and if he puts an infrastructure and any other related thing, that's a plus. So we are separating on those. I think the chairman said the time is gone. Then I think that was a job creation. Hoping those were okay. The risk model. The member has already responded. Thank you, Chair.
Deputy Minister, are you fine? I'm sorry, Pagamani, to rush you, but as I indicated, no, not in this meeting, in the previous meeting, that yesterday honorable members had to work throughout, and from here, without lines, they had to go to the EPCs, and that didn't sit well in terms of my reputation. They don't deny that there should be a dictator. They say there must be an enlightened dictator. But honourable members and deputy minister, member of the board, CEO of Land Bank and your team, this is one of the success stories that all of us can be proud of in terms of where you come from. first phase, cleanup period, second phase, and now fit for the future. That's what we are looking at. We have always been behind you. And I think we must, I must say on behalf of the committee, we'll remain very supportive of your projections and your vision. You are right when you say there are people who do not want to think that the land bank is a place to be and to work for because of the history and the perception. But those of us who have been interacting with you, you have moved this institution from almost a near disastrous situation with the support of the National Treasurer, particularly the Deputy Minister. He has been there for you. We really want to congratulate you on that score, that keep up the good work. You can count on us in terms of your future projections and where you want to be as a committee. Once again, part of our problems and challenges as the committee here is that when we interface with yourselves, there's always a limitation of time. And I know, because you spend a lot of time in National Treasury, one thing with people that have worked in National Treasury, they are very, very diligent, try to actually not to be as economic as possible in terms of information. I can count from Momo to Kenneth Brown and yourself and the former DG, who's now the Deputy Reserve Bank Governor. It's because you pay detail and attention to everything that you do. So we want to thank you very much for the work that you are doing, and you can count on the support of the committee. At some point, time permitting, you are one of the institutions that you should come and sit and spend a day with yourselves. Then we'll actually have a better picture of what you are doing. This rush-rush interaction does not give you the space to actually inform us much broader in terms of what you want to do. But I want to thank you very much, Deputy Minister. I said earlier on, I don't envy your position. You have to handhold almost every institution in the finance family in terms of their work. It's not only in terms of Parliament. We are aware that we've got a lot of work to do out there. But thank you very much for the guidance that you also continue to give to the institution under the finance family. Thank you very much. Honourable members, thanks for your active participation. It is very clear that we are beginning to pay attention to the documents that are submitted to the committee in terms of the quality of questions, in terms of engagement and all those kind of things. I think on behalf of the Standing Committee on Finance, I should also say we're really beginning to, or we have to a certain extent, started representing Parliament in our work very, very well. Thank you very much, Honourable Members. EPC, which one? Transport, this afternoon.
Thank you very much.